Obstacles to Sanctification,
Part 1.
You know, for many of us who served in the armed forces or the law enforcement services or firefighting and rescue services, we were made aware early on in our careers of the obstacle course. And make no mistake about it, folks. Now that you have been born again and become a child of God, you are involved in spiritual warfare, and as such, must understand that Satan, the enemy of our souls, do not want or does not want you to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, as we find in Ephesians 6:10, who tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And in order to keep you from becoming strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Satan will place every obstacle that he can in your path in his attempt to discourage you and to defeat you. You must learn how to overcome the obstacles in the spiritual obstacle course of life. As we discovered in our last lesson, salvation is an event in which one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as their Lord and Savior when they are born again. However, sanctification is a process. It's a process by which one who has been born again becomes increasingly like our Lord and Savior, which is the will of God for all believers. But make no mistake about it, now that Satan has lost his legal ownership of you, yes, that's right, I said legal ownership of you, before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you were one of his children. He owned you. But now that you have become born again, you're no longer his child. So he's going to employ everything, every strategy that he knows of. And he knows a lot, folks. He knows a lot. But he's going to do everything that he can in your life to prevent you from becoming Christ-like and from finding what God's will is for your life. Because he knows, once you understand who you are as a child of God, you pose great threat and a great danger to his kingdom. So in this lesson, we will discover some of the strategies, the wiles, and devices that Satan uses against believers, and especially against the new believer, trying to keep them from becoming Christ-like. So let's look at the number one thing in the life that can and will pose obstacles in the process of the sanctification. And these are known as strongholds in the life. What some people call habits or addictions are in fact strongholds in the life. A stronghold is defined as a practice in the life that has a stronghold in the life of the individual. A stronghold in the life of an individual may manifest in the life as an addiction to drugs, alcoholism, nicotine, lust, pornography, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lying, stealing, or any other sinful practices over which the individual acknowledges that they have no control over. And what about you, my friend? As a child of God, can you name some strongholds that are still in the life, a habit or an addiction? Smoking, it's a habit or an addiction. Looking at pornography is a habit or an addiction. Masturbation is a habit or an addiction. All of these become strongholds in the life. And we're going to look at how are some of these strongholds built up in the life of the believer, of the born-again believer. Well, many of these strongholds were in the life at the time of the conversion. And many of the roots of that stronghold are still in the life, though they may be lying dormant. Unless you've dealt with them, they're still there, and they will raise their head, given the right opportunity. How does one become a liar? By telling a liar lies. One lie after one lie after one lie after one lie after one lie. To soon that the individual becomes a habitual liar. How does one become addicted to pornography? Looking at pornography one at a time. One at a time, to the degree that it becomes an addiction in the life. The individual has to look at pornography, and we know where pornography leads. It leads to masturbation, And both of these become strongholds in the life. Drug addiction, same thing. Alcohol addiction, same thing. Homosexuality, same thing. Adultery, same thing. You say, wait a minute. How is homosexuality a stronghold? Well, God's word strictly speaks against the act of homosexuality, calls it an abomination, yet we have a society that embraces all forms of this abomination. It's the same with adultery. It's an abomination. Fornication. These are sins in the life that develop strongholds in the life. Maybe the homosexuality happened as a young child or a young adult. But it happens one time, happens another time, happens another time, to where the individual becomes embraced within the lifestyle or embraced within the suggestion from Satan to commit that type of sin. Yet we have a society that forbids, we call it a sin, because when you identify it as a sin, that takes on a different character. So strongholds are detriment to the believer, in the life of the believer, because it renders you ineffective to be strong in the power of God's might. And Satan doesn't want you to become strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So he throws these obstacles at you. Let's look at the Word of God for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I touched on this somewhat a lesson or two ago, but this note in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that mean, not carnal? Well, it means that these weapons that we are to use, that's right, weapons, because you're in a warfare whether you like it or not. But these weapons that we use as a child of God, they're not human. You can't take out a gun, you can't take out a sword or a 2x4 and fight with them, with this kind of warfare that we're in. Does no good. These weapons to pull down these strongholds, they are not human weapons. Or you may take a weapon, you may take a gun and shoot someone. It doesn't deliver them from the stronghold. It may inflict great pain upon the body or kill the body, but that stronghold, if they live, is still in the life. You can bruise the body, beat the body up, but it doesn't do a thing about the stronghold in the life. Because these weapons that we are to use, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. So this tells us that the weapons that we are to use to pull down these strongholds, it tells us that we're in a warfare, and it's a spiritual warfare we're in. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against spirits of the invisible world, demons. These strongholds, they're not built into the life overnight, but over a process of time, as the same sin is committed time after time, over and over again. Picture it like this. You watch pornography, and it's like building a brick wall, okay? You watch pornography, okay, I laid a brick there. A brick of pornography. Then you watch pornography again. Another lit brick is laid. Then you watch pornography again. Another brick is laid. Pornography again. Another brick is laid until there's a whole row of bricks. We call it pornography. And then each time you do it, now you start stacking it on top of each other. And the offshoot of that may be masturbation. So not only are you building a stronghold of pornography, but alongside it, you're building up a stronghold of masturbation. So all of this keeps going time after time. Each time you do it, it builds another block in your life, till you get to the degree that you have a whole wall built named pornography or masturbation. And then when it gets so big, so high, Satan says, all right, I have control over him. I have control over her. I'll run my flag up there. So now you're controlled by the influence of Satan. You may be a child of God with a stronghold in life. That's how strongholds get built, folks. Same way. Maybe it's a stronghold of homosexuality. You committed an act of homosexuality. There the block is laid, and it continues, it continues, it continues, it continues on through your life until you become addicted to the stronghold of sexuality, of homosexuality. And Satan runs his flag up there and he said, I control this person. Even though they're a child of God, I have control over their life in that area. And therefore, I know they pose no danger to me or my kingdom because I have control over them in that area. See how it works, folks? So while some strongholds, they can be torn down almost immediately or instantly or very quickly, but generally there is a process of time involved in tearing them down. Because how did you create that stronghold? One act at a time. And sometimes it takes one act at a time to peel off. It's like an onion skin. To peel off that layer of stronghold in your life till you can get down to the very core to destroy the root that it's coming from in your life. But regardless, these strongholds can be torn down. And they will be torn down if you are willing to become willing to tear that stronghold down in your life. Problem is, too much in today's time, people, Christians, do not want to give up their habits, their sinful practices, because they like what it does to their physical body. So that's where you have to get alone with God and ask for His mercy and His grace to give you the willpower to overcome any stronghold that's in your life. God doesn't want the stronghold in your life, but He will not force you. It's an act of your own will. One thing you must remember, almost always, strongholds are influenced by evil spirits. That's right, evil spirits or demons. Let's look at the Word of God further in this spiritual warfare. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So how does one become strong in the Lord in the power of His might? Well, number one, you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 7. There's some scriptural reference to back that up. Number two, you must be a person of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 and Luke 18:1. Some scriptural reference there. You must be a person of the Word. A person of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Number four, you must submit yourself to God. James 4:7. Number five, you must resist the devil. James 4:7. And you must be, number six, willing to suffer hardship and endure hardness. 2 Timothy 2:3. That's how you become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Do you want to become strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Then be a born again. Be a person of prayer. Be a person of the Word. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And be willing to suffer hardship. You may say, yeah, Brother Gene, that's an awful lot. Well, do you really want to be the child of God that He's called you to be? Then it's work, folks. It's work, okay? It's easy to just roll over and let life happen, but that's not what we're called to be. Ephesians 6:11 says, finally, or put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? So you may be, he said, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? It's a methodology that Satan uses, the schemes, cunning arts, deceit, craft, and trickery. So his methodology that he uses on us are schemes, these wiles of the devil, schemes, cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery, all of these things. You're under investigation as a child of God. I remember When I was in the Navy, I was stationed over in Sicily, and my wife was with me there. We were there for 3 years, and I lived out on what they call the economy. I didn't live on the base. Worked on the base, but I didn't live on the base. So we lived up in a town called Nicolosi, and it's right at the foot of Mount Etna. It was a nice place, but we got robbed. And it's interesting that I was robbed because I had hired what they call a vigilante to watch over my premises there. Well, regardless, to say we got robbed. And when they were doing the investigation, trying to figure out who it was, and they found that in a little knoll up in the mountainous region there, they saw where these robbers had camped out or were watching us, whoever they had doing it, with spy glasses, binoculars, and they had them a little area there where they were laying in the grass and smoking their cigarettes and looking at the girly magazines, but they were spying on us. They were investigating us. We were under investigation. When did we come in? When did we leave? And what was our pattern? When did we go in the mornings? When did we come back? So after days of under investigation and watching, they knew that, okay, every morning he gets up, 6:30 in the morning, him and his wife goes, and they don't come back till about 6 o'clock at night. So they knew that this home was not guarded, or it's supposed to have been, but maybe the vigilante that I hired was part of the people who robbed me. Regardless, we were under investigation, and they knew when we came, they knew when we left. It's like that in the spiritual warfare, folks. You are under investigation. And it's like that in Ephesians here, where God says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, you're under investigation. So you got to put on this whole armor, God, that you'll be able to stand against what Satan is going to come against you with. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, what in the world does all of that mean? That means that you're under investigation by Satan. He's using these wiles and the schemes to investigate you to find out where you're weak at. He knows your bloodline. He's been around. Him and the demons has been around since the fall of mankind at the Garden of Eden. So don't think for once that he doesn't know that your father had the weakness here or your mother had a weakness here, and those traits follow the bloodline, and I'm going to show you that from the Word of God. So you're under investigation. They may say, okay, we know that his father had a problem with lust. His father had a problem with fornication. His father had a problem with adultery. So what do you think he's going to do? He is going to engineer circumstances and situations and use people of his own ranks to throw these roadblocks, stumbling blocks, obstacles in your way to try to get you to fall, because he knows there's a proclivity there of weakness in your bloodline, and he's going to try it. Maybe it's homosexuality. Maybe your grandparents were involved in homosexuality, or your parents. Well, he knows that the proclivity of your bloodline, it's in there. So what will he do? He will engineer circumstances to throw at you to get you to fall and get involved with that sin. So these principalities that's talked about in Ephesians 6:12. What is a principality? Well, the Greek word for principality is exousia, meaning the leading and more powerful among the created beings superior to man. These are demons holding dominions entrusted to them in the order of things, the principal rulers or the chieftains in the unseen world of the demonic realm. That's why it's spiritual wickedness in high places in the world, rulers of the dark world. In other words, Satan's kingdom. And he will establish these demonic principalities in every area of the nation or the world. And that prince demon or that principality that's over this area, He controls and rules the dark world of those, and he will do everything in his power to prevent advancement of the kingdom of God and his people. That's the war you're in, folks, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against these principalities, against these powers, against these rulers of the darkness of this world, and against this spiritual wickedness in high places. So how can you war against that? You can't in your own power. You can't do it with physical weapons. That's why he tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, these principalities, and these rulers of darkness. You have all power and authority through the Lord Jesus Christ over spiritual wickedness, demonic working realm, especially in your life. It's a warfare, folks. It's a battle. Don't give in. Let me reiterate, we are put on notice that this warfare cannot be won using human methods. It's in the invisible realm, folks. We are informed that we are actually in spiritual combat against these evil spirits of different ranks and strengths. These provide obstacles to the process of sanctification. But, as we've seen in the Word of God, we are provided with the necessary tools to gain our freedom from unclean spirits and strongholds. These are spiritual tools. They're not physical tools. Spiritual weapons, not physical weapons. Did you know that the sins of our fathers, they can provide obstacles to the sanctification process? Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 5. The word of the Lord tells us, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Look at this now. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Let's go on to verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So this doesn't mean that God would punish the child for the sins of the father. Make that clear. But God, however, it means that as our ancestors, as an act of their will, sinned against God, against the known will of God. And they gave legal access to unclean spirits, to demons, to gain access to the family bloodline, and to operate in the family bloodline for continuing generations until someone in the bloodline, through the power of the Holy Spirit, after having been born again, chooses as an act of their will through submission to the Lord Jesus Christ to be free and break their power in the bloodline. As the children saw their fathers committing the sins of idolatry or other expressions of sinful practices, and they as children were influenced to commit those same sins as their fathers had committed, they placed themselves under the same judgment as their fathers, and by themselves given legal access to the same unclean spirits, just as surely as we find such conditions as cancer, diabetes, heart conditions, and other medical problems in the family bloodline. The same is true in the variety of the sinful conditions in the bloodline because of the sins of the fathers. Have you ever gone to the doctor and they said, did your mother or your father have this problem in their life? Did they have heart conditions? Did they have diabetes? Or what runs in the bloodline? What did they have? Because chances are you have that same proclivity to develop that same type of disease. Well, it's the same in the spiritual realm. What did your fathers, your mothers, your ancestors, what were they guilty of sinning? Because that same proclivity will follow the bloodline until someone stops it. Evil spirits that gain access to a bloodline through the sins of the fathers will often seek to remain in the bloodline, influencing the descendants of that bloodline for generations to generations, which we see in ample cases in scriptures and in lives today. And you can find more on this, this biblical truth about the sins of the fathers found in Exodus 34:7, Numbers 14:18, Deuteronomy 5:9. So these evil spirits, even on the deathbed, maybe someone is eaten up with adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, you name the sin. It doesn't matter, but if they've had a stronghold there in their life and they die, well, those unclean spirits, those demons, will leave that dead body, and they're going to go search for another body where they can operate and fulfill their desires. And guess where they go? They will look in the bloodline. They will look in the bloodline and try to operate through the bloodline. And if we can't find no one through the bloodline because it's been blocked and stopped by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the strongholds have been torn down, then they're going to go somewhere else to another person that they can influence. So, with all these truths in mind that we just talked about, how would you explain 2 Corinthians 10:3? 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." How would you explain that? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:3 assures us as the believer that while we are humans, we are engaged in a warfare that is not fought along the human lines, but rather it is a warfare that's in the spirit realm of the unseen reality. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So how would you explain that one in your own words? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4 assures us, the believer, that the weapons with which we fight the spiritual warfare in this unseen reality, they're not human weapons, but they're spiritual weapons, i.e. the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, word of our testimony, our relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. These are effective in pulling down the strongholds and the satanic strongholds in the life of the believer. In 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This assures us, the believer, that these weapons are sufficient to empower the believer to bring every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ and to cast down and destroy everything that Satan would use to deceive us into disobedience to the Word of God. That's his goal. He wants to deceive us to disobey God's Word. And when we disobey God's Word, we lose our prayer power, folks. Ongoing sin in the life will block your prayer power. You know, we talked about this invisible realm, that is where the battle is. Let's look at Colossians 1:16 just a moment. In Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him," that's Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." Look at this, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. So we find right there that in heavens and the earth, visible and invisible. So this Colossians 1:16 reinforces the truth that there are two realms of reality. The area of seen reality, that is the visible physical world in which we live in, and two, the area of unseen reality, that is the invisible spiritual realm in which the real battle originates and takes place against our spirit, soul, mind, and body. And Ephesians 6:10 tells us that, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That reminds us that our strength to fight and win the battle in this spiritual warfare is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This battle cannot be won in human strength. Verse 11 of Ephesians 6 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 11 reminds us that we need to daily wear the whole armor of God in order to prevail on a daily basis in this ongoing spiritual warfare. Note that we need to wear the whole armor of God. If one piece is not worn, the believer can suffer loss and damage emotionally, spiritually, or even physically. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So Ephesians 6:12 reminds us, once again, that the battle that rages for supremacy over our minds and our lives is not against visible forces, but invisible forces, which often work through other individuals, situations, and circumstances. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So James 4:7 assures us that if we will obey the word of God and live our lives in complete surrender and submission to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we can then successfully resist the enemy. Satan and all the demonic powers in his rule will have no effect on us if we use the word of God, live our lives in complete surrender and submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we can successfully resist the enemy. Well, I've been Pastor Gene Howard here. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope this lesson has given you some insight as to why you may suffer such obstacles in your life to your sanctification process. Remember, folks, this will happen till you die, but we are to constantly be vigilant because we are in a war. Well, until we have a chance to do this again, may God bless you and yours real good. Good night.